today's class and the rest of the classes that we have in the semester, we will learn about virtual memory. Why do we need to learn about it? What's the problem? So the problem we're trying to solve is physical memory can have a limited space, so it cannot be infinite. Due to the cost issues, we will have some kind of limited size of DRAM in our system. But what happens when the programs that we are running that needs to access more memory than we have? Should the programmers be concerned about if their application is fitting in memory or not? Like as a programmer, when we are trying to write something, is that a problem that we need to solve? That's actually too much to ask from the programmers, that they actually restrict their programs in a way or manage their programs in a way that it fits in the memory. Also, you can say that maybe some of the data we have would reside in disk, but in that case, when we write a program, we need to manage the memory in a way that whatever portion we are accessing, we bring it from the crack, from our disk to memory. That's also asking too much things to do from our programmers. Also, when we are accessing running multiple applications, they all are accessing some form of addresses. And how we ensure that whatever address they're accessing doesn't correspond to the same physical location. We have to make sure that the addresses for each different programs are isolated. So all these things, we have to provide some solution to support all these things. In addition to that, the ISAs that we have, it's either 32-bit or 64-bit. And if you think about how much address that we can access with those bits, it's actually pretty huge. And the physical memory may not have that much capacity. So how should we access our memory from the application's point of view when the physical memory is quite limited? So that's the problem we're trying to solve. And it's a very fundamental concept of computer science that we will try to virtualize our memory. What's the key idea? The key idea is we will give an illusion to the programmers that our physical memory is really large. But even though we have a very small physical memory, so it solves the problem of the programmers now don't have to manage the memory even if when the data is not fitting in memory, the applications which sees that it has a very large address space doesn't have to consider physical memories actually have a limited size. But now we have to provide some mechanism to provide that illusion. So we solve the first part that, okay, the programmers don't need to worry about having a limited capacity memory, but that also means that there has to be some way that we provide the support for that illusion. And the illusion that we are providing, we enable it using a form of indirection. What happens is programmer sees a virtual memory. And that memory could have a very large capacity. For example, for 32-bit addresses, we could access 2 to the power 32 bytes. But in reality, the memory is quite small. It could be maybe 4 gigabytes. But now, the system, and when we say system, it means that some part of the operating system and hardware cooperatively will map those virtual memory to physical memory. So there is a support in our system which will enable this illusion that programmers will see that we have a very large address space, but in reality, we will have a small capacity memory. So the benefit is now the programmers, they don't have to support all this extra work that is handled by the OS and the hardware. But I guess the downside is now someone has to write that system support and have to design the architecture. So how we provide this abstraction? We provide this abstraction using indirection. So any address that is generated by the application, that address belongs to virtual memory, and we call that virtual address. And it is different from the physical address in DRAM. Like when we talked about memory, we provided an address. That's the physical address, and it's different from the address that applications see. And then there is this address translation mechanism that will map this virtual address to the appropriate physical address. So you learned about it in the previous class. This address translation is a mechanism which is enabling this indirection. And this indirection, it's also a very fundamental concept in computer science. Some people say that any problem in our systems can be solved either by indirection or caching. So whenever you are facing some problem, think about these two things. And most probably there is a way to solve it using these two concepts. So you can think about that now address, we are decoupling the notion of address from a physical location. The physical location, that's the physical address, but the address that we see in our programs or the addresses that we generate in our application, that is not the same thing. And Peter Denning, he's a computer scientist who did a lot of work on virtual memory. He also wrote a very famous book on operating systems. So maybe, I don't know which book we use, but that's actually pretty popular. So you saw these things. So for example, in our real physical memory, there could be different data and instruction from different applications. And from in the programs, it sees virtual address, which usually is much larger than whatever memory that we have in our physical memory. But then there is this mapping which enables that given which virtual address, what physical access address should be accessed. I guess, yeah. So virtual address, that's why could have different size from our real physical address, because now we have completely decoupled them. And this mapping, which basically is the address translation part, that mapping has to be stored somewhere to enable this support for virtual memory. So let's see a very simple example. This is a toy program memory where the application sees memory from address 0 to address 3FF, I guess it's 1K memory. And we have divided the address space into different things, stack, heap, code, and some extra space to allocate more data. And what we do in our virtual address space is we divide the memory in a way that each segment has similar size, and we call that a page. So now we have divided the memory address space into four regions, and each region we are calling it a virtual page. So now we have four virtual pages, 0, 1, 2, 3. And how we know that what's the number of virtual pages that we are accessing? That would be decided by some of the bits in our virtual address. So here, the first two bits decide that what virtual page we are accessing. So here we have 0 to 1, 1. And the rest of the bits, which decides what byte within the page we will access, that is called page offset. So that should be the lower order bits, and the number of bits is determined by the size of our page. So here, each page can have 128 bytes, so we need 8 bytes for our page offset. So given that that's the virtual address space that the program sees, now we have to map that virtual address to some physical address. And let's assume that this is our physical memory, which is bigger in this example. And we also divide it into pages. Fixed size segments, which is similar to our virtual page size. The physical page size and the virtual page size, they are the same. So that means that we have divided our real memory to pages, and each of them has 128 bytes. And now we want this mapping, which says that which virtual page is being mapped to which physical page. And you can just assume that there is this mapping in OS, which will say that this page maps to this one, this maps to this one, and the green one maps to this one. And the important thing to see here is there might be some pages which are not assigned to any physical page. And this mapping, that is something now we need to store to determine our physical address. So here, the mapping says that page 0, here you can see that this one, is mapped to physical page 2, 0, 1, 2. And this page number is decided by the higher order bits in our address. Then page 1, which is this one, is assigned to physical page 7. This page 2, there is no mapping. That means that it has not been allocated to physical memory yet. And this page 4, it is assigned to physical page 0. And this is the table, which we call page table. And we use this page table to address all these mappings. And we use these mappings to decide that a virtual address, where is it mapped in our physical address. So similar to any table, like we have seen it in a cache also, what we have seen that sometimes there could be virtual pages that we haven't assigned to any physical page. So that's why we need one bit to differentiate if this page is allocated or not. So in the page table, now we have to have this valid bit, and then we have this physical page number, which says us that within the real physical memory, which page this virtual page belongs to. So here, the start entry, the valid bit is zero. That means that this virtual page is not assigned to anything. So how should, given that we have this page table, how can we use it to map one physical page or physical address to one virtual page to one physical page? So what we would do is we will take the virtual address that we get from CPU. So CPU is accessing some instruction or memory or data, and it will generate an address. So given the configurations that we have, our pages are, pages need 8 bits for page offset, and we have two higher order bits which decides the virtual page number. So what we do is we take this virtual page number and use it as an index to our page table. So here we have 01 and it points to one entry in the page table, and each entry in the page table is called page table entry. So it has one in the valid bit, that means that there is a physical page assigned to this virtual page, and we read out the physical page number. Here the physical page number is 111, so we directly read it out from our page table. So that's our physical page number. But we also need some extra bits to determine which byte within the page we want to access. And those bits will directly come from our virtual address. So that comes directly from the virtual address, and now this whole thing is our physical address. And suppose instead of 01, we were actually accessing this third entry. In that case, the valid bit is 0. That would have meant that there is no physical page assigned to this virtual page. So it would have triggered an exception, and operating system had to assign a physical page to that entry. So just to summarize, the higher order bits that we use to index the table, that is called virtual page number. And the higher order bits that we use, we get from our page table, that is called physical page number. And the page offsets are the lower order bits, which is same in both the virtual address and physical address. Any questions so far? So now when we are, so this page table, that it belongs to each application, because each application has its address space, and somehow we are using the page table to determine within the physical memory where is that data located. So each program has to have a page table. That also means that whenever we are context switching, we are moving one application to another, we need to switch the page tables too. And the operating system does that with some privileged operations. That means that that's also a program which is doing some work. The work it is doing is it is switching the context and loading the actual page table for the next process. And that memory, that instructions also have to reside somewhere in the memory. That means that within our address space, there would be some pages dedicated to our kernel. And we want to make sure that applications don't access that region or cannot modify that region. So that's why we actually need another bit in our page table, which says that is this page accessible to the application or only the operating system can access it. So here is another bit which says either it's kernel only or not. So now we have a valid bit, the physical page number, and one extra bit indicating if it can be accessed by kernel or the application. And the access to page table is still the same. The exception is if we try to access a page which has one in the kernel only bit, and the application that is trying to access that page does not have permission, then we will have we will trigger an exception that a user mode application is trying to use privileged data. So this is the way we are providing isolation between kernel and application. So now let's go to virtual address sizes. Usually it is the size of the, it could be determined by the size of the ISA. So if the ISA has 64 bits, you would think that the address space, at least the virtual address space should be 2^64. But what we have done is some of that address space is not accessible to applications. For example, with typical x86-64, even though we are using 64 bits to specify an address, only 48 bits are used. The higher order bits, they are just assigned to a fixed value and we just don't use them. So the virtual address size is the address space that we can access using our addresses. So let's try to do some exercise. If we try to define what is address space, it is the amount of memory that can be addressed from our application. And let's assume that the virtual address space, we access it using 32 bits address. And that essentially means that the total memory that we can access using the virtual address is 2^32 bytes. And let's assume that the physical memory that we have, it has 20 bit physical address. That means that the total physical memory that we can access is 2^22 bytes. So given that information, let's assume that given that information, how many virtual pages that we have? I guess that's in the next slide. So before going to the exercise, I guess what we are trying to say here is the physical memory can be smaller, and then we have to determine how many bits we need for our virtual page number, physical page number, and how many bits we use for our page offset. And that will depend on these configurations, that how many bits we have in our virtual address, how many bits we have in our physical address, and the size of the pages. So here, So we have this 32-bit virtual address, and each page is 4 kilobytes. So we have 2^12 bytes. for each page. That's the size of our page. So given that information, the first thing we need to determine is how many virtual pages we have in our address space. Can anyone tell me that? Yes, so we have 2^32 bytes in our physical address, and each page takes 2^12 bytes. So essentially we are just dividing it by dividing our address space by our page size, and now we know that the amount, the number of virtual pages in our system is 2^32. So now what we want to do is we want to know that how that affects our page table size. So this is slightly different exercise. Here we have 32-bit virtual address, and the physical address is 30 bit. The page size is again 4 kilobyte, and let's assume that the entries in our page table, they store the physical page number, valid bit, and kernel mode bit. So now we would like to know that how big is our page table. And in order to determine that, first we need to know how many entries we need in our page table. And that comes from the number of virtual pages we have. So similar to the previous example or previous exercise, the first step is determining how many virtual pages we have. So that will tell that how many entries we need in our page table. And then for each entry, we need this many bits. And that will come from how many bits we will use for our physical page number. I guess I will maybe give you 2 minutes to think about it, and then we can sync up. Anyone wants to volunteer? first thing we want to know is what's the, how many pages we have in our virtual address space. And that comes from, we are using 12 bits for our page offset. So that means that the remaining 20 bits in our virtual memory, that many, so we have 2 to the power 20 virtual pages in our address space. And we need mapping for each of them in the page table. For the mapping, first thing we need to know is how many bits we need for our physical page number. And we have 32-bit physical address, and 12 bits would be gone for our page offset. The remaining bits, 30 minus 12, which is 18, is the number of bits we need for our physical page number. And then we have these two bits, two extra bits, one for the valid bit and one for the kernel bit. So this is the total space we need for our page table. And it's more than 2 megabytes. So that's when we have 32-bit virtual address. Think about what will happen when we have 64-bit virtual address. So you can think that the amount of storage we need for page table can be pretty large, and that's something we need to access whenever we have a physical, a virtual address. We have to access that table and get the physical page. If we try to keep it in our processor, that means that we need to have more than 2 megabytes of caches just for our page table. And even caches are not that big per processor. So it's think about that. It is a problem that, given that we have to access page table for every access, where should we store such a huge table? But let's do another exercise on how we need to split the address from when we are trying to translate a virtual address to physical address. So it's the same configuration. Our page size is 4 kilobytes. And this is the address, this is the virtual address that we want to split into page number and page offset. And the steps are, first we need to determine how many bits we need for our page offset, and the remaining bits will go to our page number. So this one is pretty simple, so I will just skip through it. So because we need 12 bits for our page offset, the lower order, these 4 bits, these 12 bits, determines the page offset, and rest of the bits, that is our virtual page number. So what I was trying to tell before, that even our page tables are so huge, it's actually not that convenient to keep them in our processor. So it is something we need to access every memory access. And also each application has their own page table. So per process, 2 megabytes, if I'm running 10 applications, that would just blow up all the caches that we have. So in reality, these page tables are also stored in memory. So for example, let's see that given this is one page table entry, how we store it in memory. So when if it is somewhere in memory, when we are trying to find the page table entry, we have to know where to look it up. So that's why we have this special register, which is called page table base register, and that stores the first location of the page table. And here we are calling it page table base register, but different microprocessor vendors came up with their own name. For example, Intel calls it CR3. But in reality, whatever name it is pointing to some portion in memory where our page table starts. So here I'm showing how in memory these our page tables are stored. And the addresses are starting from zero and then going up. So given that we have the page table base register, which is starting here, that means that this is the first byte in memory that corresponds to the first entry on our page table. So this valid bit here, that's the first bit in our memory. Then we have the kernel bit, which is again just one bit, so it's here. We need some bits for our physical page number, that's here, and then some bits are unused. And that's just one entry, so essentially we have multiple entries laid out in memory consecutively to store our page table. So we are thinking about it as a table which has these entries, but in reality, they are all laid out consecutively in memory. And you can see that the first entry that goes to this first here, then the second one, third one, and the last one. I guess the takeaway here is, given that it is stored somewhere in memory, this page table base register is really important to find out where to look for our page table. Yes, here you can see that all the valid bits are here. These are the physical page number, and there are some just extra bits which we haven't used. So now, given that page tables are in memory, how should we translate a virtual page address to physical page address? Now there are some extra steps because these page tables are just not in processor. So what will happen is, still we will first split the address, and we will have the page offset and virtual page number. But this virtual page number, we will multiply it using our page table entry size, and then add that number to our base register. So that will say that where in our memory the page table is, and like which entry, where is the location of the page table entry that we are trying to get. And then we read out that specific page table entry. We get our physical page number, that's where it comes from, and our page offset, we will just copy it from our virtual page address, virtual address. And also we have to check the valid bit and kernel bits and see that if they're appropriately set or not. So essentially now the process is slightly more complex. We get the virtual address. From the virtual address, we split the address to get the virtual page number, multiply it by the page table entry size, and add it to our page table base register. So now we have the location in memory where the specific page table entry that we are looking for resides. So we send that address to memory, and get the page table entry. Now, from the page table entry, we get the physical page number, and we copy the page offset from our virtual address. So now, this is our physical address, and we have to send it to our cache again to get the actual instruction or data, whatever we are accessing. So that means that there are multiple memory accesses in order to access any data or instruction. And this part where we are determining the location of the page table entry and sending out the memory accesses for the page table entry, that is done in hardware, which is called the memory management unit. So memory management unit is responsible for splitting the virtual address, determining the location of the page table entry, getting the page table entry, and determining the physical address. So think about the instructions that we get from our processor. So it could be an address for an instruction. That means that in order to get that instruction, first we need to access our memory to get the page table entry. Once we get the page table entry, we get the physical address of our instruction. We read that address, and that might be a memory instruction, and it will have some virtual address within that address. Even to access that physical, to access that data, now we have to do multiple steps. We first have to determine the location of the page table, and then we have to send another memory access for the data. So if you think about the pipeline that we have seen in the previous classes, in the fetch stage, we were accessing an instruction, and that was just one access. We access the cache, and we get the data. Now it means that first we need to access the page table, then we have to access the instruction. And again, when we are accessing data in our memory stage, first we have to access the page table from memory, and then we have to access the memory with the real physical address. Essentially, now there are up to 4 memory accesses per instruction. So that's not good, right? So we want more instructions per cycle, but if we have to make 4 accesses for just one instruction, that makes our processor really, really slow. So there are 2 fundamental problems with the organization that we have seen so far. The first one is, it looks like we have to make 2 extra accesses to memory in order to just execute one instruction. And then the page tables are really huge. It's just even for if we have, because we have par processor page table, even our memory can get all filled up with the page tables that we have. So mostly we will talk about the solutions in the next 2 classes. So for these extra 2 accesses, usually we cache the translated address in the processor so that we don't have to access memory all the time. That we will learn next week. And also, in order to make sure that our memory is just not all, so we can access our page table slightly faster, instead of having this huge one monolithic page table, we actually use hierarchical ones. So that is also we will talk about in the next class. But right now, let's try to focus on, given a page table and given a physical page address, how can we translate the address to real physical address and get the data from memory. So in this example, we have 5-bit virtual address and 6-bit physical address. The page sizes are 8 bytes. And here we have our page table, which has the physical page number and the valid bit. And this is our memory, which we have laid out as a byte addressable memory. Here the address 0 to 3 has 4 bytes. The next address is our 4 to 7, that's also pointing to 4 bytes, and etc. But remember that the page size is 8 bytes, which basically means that these first 8 bytes, they belong to physical page 0. Then the next 8 bytes, they belong to physical page 1, and so on. So what we want to know is, given some virtual addresses, what is the data we will get from our memory? So here we have some addresses, like in hexadecimal 1803 0A13, and etc. And what I would like you to do is, given these virtual address, determine what is our physical address, and then use that physical address to read out some value from our memory. And I guess I will give some hints. The first step is split our virtual address and determine how many bits we need for offset versus physical page number, which we could get from here. And once we have the physical page number, we would like to get the physical page number from the page table, and we will use that to determine where in memory we need to look up. I guess I will give you 3-4 minutes, and then we will go to the example. Any volunteer for the first one? The first step is to split the address. So here, if I write it in binary, this is the virtual address that we have. And because our page size is 8 byte, 2 to the power 3, that means that lower 3 bits, that's our page offset. And the first 2 bits, that's our page, physical page number. So that's why we will take this 01, our virtual page number, and use it to index our page table. So we come here, 01, and we get, I did a mistake. So the virtual address would be one zero zero one, right? 110. So essentially, what we will have is 11. Okay, I guess. I can't correct it right now, but when I will upload it, I will correct it. So it will become 11 because here is the one, and then I have the 8 1 0 0 1. So this is where we will have 11, and we will come here. The entry that we are trying to look up is this, the last one. And the physical page number here stored is 000, and this is a valid entry. That means that this is our physical page number. And the page offset that comes from here. So essentially, we have this first byte in our physical memory that is 00, and that is what we will read out from our memory. The next one, I hope I didn't make a mistake here also. So the next one, we take our address, which is in hexadecimal 03. In binary, we will take the first 2 bits for our physical page number, that is 00. And that means that now we need to look at the first entry. And the physical page number here is 010. And we concatenate it with the lower order bits, which is 011, and that becomes our physical address. So essentially, we need to look at the this page and the fourth byte, which is 4A. So that's why we will read out the fourth byte in our page. The next one. Essentially, again, we take the first 2 bits, the higher order 2 bits for our virtual page number, and that is 111, and the rest of the bits will come just from here. The lower order 3 bits, which is 010. So essentially, the physical address becomes 111 and 010. So in hex, so that will mean that here we go to page number 7, which will be, this is 0, this is 1, this is 2, this is 3, this is 4, this is 5, this is 6, and this is 7. So essentially, we are accessing the last page in our physical memory. And the within the page, we are accessing the third byte, 010. So that is where why we are reading out this value DC. For the last one, again we look at the higher order two bits, which are 10, and that means that we are supposed to look up this third entry. But what we see that this is not valid entry, so there is no mapping there. So in this case, we just don't translate. There would be an exception trigger that this page is not allocated. There would be a page fault. So that's why we don't have any physical address here, and we have a fault. Any question here? Yes.
Zero x 18.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because I guess I have mistaken it. So essentially, so this is very embarrassing. But anyway, so 18 is not 010001, right? So essentially, it is 1100. So 1 is just 1, and 8 is 1000. And that will mean that, I guess I could write it somewhere. Okay, there is no chalk here. So essentially, the higher order two bits, those are 1, 1. And that will mean that I go to this entry, the last one, and I get 000. And that's the virtual, that's the physical page number. This is the first 8 bits that belongs to our first physical page. And because it has 000, that means that we need to look up the first physical page. Now within the physical page, yes. So this is 18 in hexadecimal. So I guess the slide is all confusing people. So if I convert it to binary, I have 1 for this, and there would be some zeros in the leading, but let's assume they are not. And then I have 8, which is 1000. And we split the address. This is our virtual page number, and this is our page offset. So first we'll take this 11 to index our page table. That is here. And it's a valid entry, there is 1 invalid bit. So we will take out the physical page number from our page table, which is 000. So now we have 000 for our physical page number. And we will just use the page offset from our virtual address to here. So essentially, this is our final physical address. And the page number, the physical page number is all 0. That means that this is our first physical page where the index, the page number is 0. And within that page, we are supposed to, so these last three bits, they say that within that 8-byte page, which byte we want to access. So it's very similar to caching. So now that means that within this page, we are supposed to read out the first byte, and that is 00. So I will correct this one so that you're not confused. Any more questions? So I guess let's do the other one again, where there is no mistake on the slides. So this 03, if we write it in binary for the virtual address, this becomes 0, and then we have 4 bits for 30011. So that's 5-bit virtual address, and we will use the higher 2 bits for our virtual page number, which is 00. We take 00 to index our page table, and we see that there is a valid mapping here. And the entry, the page table entry, contains the physical page number that we want to look up. And that contains 010. 010 is the second page in our physical memory. And within that page, we want to know that which byte we want to read out. That comes from these 3 bits, which is 11. So essentially, it is saying that read out the fourth byte in our third page. So this is 10, and this is 011. So that's the entry that we will read up. Any more questions? So that's the regular procedure when we have valid entries. The last example was if we look up the page table entry and we find that that entry is not valid, we raise an exception that there is a page fault and ask the operating system to map that page. Any question? So now let's see that we talked about, given that there are multiple applications, they have their own address space and they have their own page table. But this indirection with page table, we can sometimes optimize for shared data or the same data. So for example, maybe we have 2 users running the same application. And that will mean that in the address virtual address space, we have these 2 very similar things, where there is the code, which would be mostly similar, and there are parts used by OS and stack and heap, and most likely the stack and heap could be different based on what the user is doing, but at least the shared part, the code for Emacs, it should be the same for both applications. So for those data, instead of creating different pages, we can have just one page and point it to from our page table to the same page. So in that way, we can avoid some duplication. But the problem is, suppose I have somehow one of the application, it got hacked, and now it's a malicious user. So this code part, this is not something we are supposed to change or modify, unless we have that specific privilege. But if we have just one page, which is one physical page shared by different processor, if one process is malicious, and maybe it somehow just changed the instructions in memory, then the other user who was not malicious, who was a regular user, now that code is also corrupted. And this is happening because this part of the code should not have been writable. So this should not have been modified by any malicious user. So that's why in the page table, we actually keep some extra information regarding the access privilege. So it is the same idea as kernel-only bit, but the kernel-only bit says that if that pages or bug can be accessed by the user or not. But it does not say anything specific about what kind of accesses a user can make. So now we have these extra permission bits, which says that can this page be read or written or executed. So now we have more bits in our page table, which decides that if that page can be written, read, or executed. And similar to valid bit or kernel bit, this is something that MMU checks before making access to that page. Any question regarding this? So now we have these write bit, execute bit, and read bit.
Yes. Similar to caching, where mm-hmm. you can't read and write at the same time.
Somewhere.
Is it similar to caching in the fact that you mm-hmm. can't read and write at the same time?
Is it similar to caching that we cannot read or write at the same time? So is it the page table or the pages?
So like the write mm-hmm. bit. Uh-huh. So if it's like zero, that's read, and then one, that's write.
So can we make a page writable but not readable? We can, but I guess I have to come up with an use case where it is, we can use that. Okay, so maybe in a case where a page, I let one application to write something, but it's just once it written, there is no way it can read it back, maybe. So there are some self-modifying code where I can see this may work. So this is a specific case.
I guess we should point out that with the choice of bits we have here, we can do that. That everything is readable if it's readable at all, if it's accessible.
So here, because we didn't put any read bit, but if we had a read bit, then it's the same situation. And in the real page tables, we don't have a specific read bits. So essentially, it's like one user versus hypervisor mode, which is the kernel bit, and one bit for which says can it be modified or not. So to summarize what we have done so far, whatever the program C, that's the virtual memory, but the real physical memory that is usually smaller, and we divide the memory into fixed size regions, which we call pages. Each virtual page has one page table entry, which contains the location of the physical page, valid bit, permission bits, some other extra bits that we will see later. And all the page table entries are stored in the page table, which is usually stored in memory. And if we are trying to access a page table entry, and some of the permission or the validity is not the right one, it triggers an exception and the OS needs to handle it. I guess the common one you always see is segmentation fault when we just don't have access to, we don't have permission to access that region. So the reason we came up with virtual memory was to provide the illusion that user have more memory than whatever physical memory we have. And that is what we do using allocating memory on demand. For example, this is the program memory. And for stack, we actually allocate some of the address space. There is heap, and there are some specific region in our address space which is allocated for heap and stack. But most of the applications, they don't use the whole address space, or even they use it, most probably it is in an incremental way. We allocate some nodes in linked list, maybe later we allocate some more nodes. So instead of just allocating a big region for our stack, it makes sense to just allocate the portion that we are using right now, instead of just having all these extra space allocated when we are still not using it. So with using this virtual memory, what we do is we allocate a page only when the program needs it. And that reduces a lot of extra space being allocated to programs when they're not using it. So for example, because I'm talking about stack, let's assume that we are pushing some temporary variable in our stack. And what we see that the value of RSP, which decides that what's the top of the stack, that may try to access a page which has not been allocated yet. So here we have a virtual address. We get the virtual page number. We look at the page table and see that, okay, this specific page has not been allocated yet. And then what the OS does is it triggers an exception that the program is trying to access a page which has not been allocated yet. And the OS would now go through the process of allocating a physical memory for that page, setting up the page table entries, and then we will return to the program. And now we will re-execute the push queue. In that case, again, we access the same address. And when we go to the virtual page, the entry in the page table, this time it would be a valid entry. So this is how we provide the illusion that the memory address space is almost infinite, even though when we may not actually have allocated all the things. So this is the example that I have shown just for stack, but this is the idea behind the virtual memory, fundamentally, that nothing is allocated unless we actually access it. I guess we will talk about it more in the next class. Thank you.